ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3 as we continue our study through the book of Joshua. And as you know, we're taking our time going through the book of Joshua because I believe there are many, many valuable lessons that the Lord has for us. You see, this book is really about living that victorious Christian life. And I mean, when you think about it, who wants to live, you know, a defeated Christian life? None of us do. So I think there's some important lessons here. Now, to kind of set the stage for what we're going to be looking at this morning, let me share a little bit about what we've seen so far to kind of fill you in. Moses now has died. Joshua is taking over. He's going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And Joshua was a little nervous about this huge task that was before him. You know, Moses was leading the children of Israel, and because of their unbelief, they didn't enter the promised land, but wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But now the Lord is encouraging Joshua to take those steps of faith and to enter the land that God has promised to them. Remember what he said in Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, what the Lord said to him. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, you read that and you think, well, it doesn't sound like Joshua was very strong in the faith, that he wavered a lot. It seems like he was afraid that maybe he wasn't even going to do what God had called him to do. And God's encouraging him here. But I don't think Joshua was going to disobey the Lord. But I do believe he was afraid, that he was nervous, maybe even a little dismayed, as the scriptures tell us. Because the Lord spoke several times about him, don't be afraid. Why was he so nervous? Because this was a huge task that was before him. And I think if we're really honest with ourselves, don't we do the same thing? The Lord calls us to do something, and we're afraid, we're nervous, we're wondering, can we do it? And here's the thing, when God calls us to take those steps of faith, it's not easy. It's not that you could just go out and do it. It's hard. In fact, it may even seem impossible. Lord, what are you doing? How can I do this? I think that's what Joshua was going through. Here's the thing. We need to remember that what is impossible for us to accomplish in our strength, all things are possible with God. And I'm so thankful for that. We have to remember that. And really, all God is asking us to do is to walk by faith. And as we do, as we accomplish what God has called us to do, He gets the glory. And we're going to see that really in our study this morning. Well, as we moved into Joshua chapter 2, we see Joshua sent two spies into the land to spy out the city of Jericho. Jericho was going to be their first place where they were going to do battle against the enemy. And as we saw, it was not really a spy mission. It was really a rescue mission. Joshua sent the two spies in to rescue this harlot named Rahab who came to the saving faith in the God of Israel. And you think, wow, man, that is an amazing thing. How could that happen? Well, here's the wonderful thing about our God. If you are searching for Him, He will reveal Himself to you. And that's really what we see with Rahab. God doesn't hide Himself from people. And what's interesting is that when these two spies came back to camp, they didn't give Joshua any battle plans, any strategies to fight against the people of Jericho. In Joshua 2, verses 23 through 24, we're told, so the two men returned, descended from the mountain, and crossed over, and they came to Joshua, the son of Nun. and told him all that had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, "Truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." In other words, when these men, these spies, heard the words of Rahab, who said, you know, "God is with you guys, we're dead meat," basically, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but they understood the fear of the people of Jericho regarding the children of Israel and the God they serve. And these two spies are giving God the glory as God has given them this victory, or promised victory. Here's all that they had to do: cross the Jordan River and enter the land by faith, not by sight. Now here's another problem. It was springtime. The Jordan River was at flood stage. Water is moving very quickly. It was overflowing its banks. How do you get 2 to 3 million people, plus, you know, cattle and sheep and everything else, across this flooded Jordan River? That's interesting. And we saw, as we got into Joshua chapter 3, that the Lord has the children of Israel, this huge group of people, move from Acacia Grove, where they were camped, and now they're right before the Jordan River. I mean, have you ever been by a river where the waters were flowing so strong you can hear them? I mean, I love that. We did some camping in Colorado, and man, you went to bed at night and you heard those waters flowing by. That's what was going on here. For 3 days, they're listening to that, watching this river flow by, probably thinking, how are we going to do this? This is impossible. Maybe they thought, hey, you know what? Maybe we should wait a few months until it dries up a little bit more, and then it'll be a lot easier to cross over. This was an impossible task for the children of Israel. And God's telling them that they have to trust in Him, and they have to step out in faith, because He's the one who's going to do this for them. This miracle is going to be by God. This is not going to be through human efforts. And their responsibility, in a sense, was they were going to have to get their feet wet, you might say. They were going to have to step out into the Jordan River and see the salvation that God would bring to the situation. And that's never an easy task. You know, don't we love to live in our comfort zones, doing the things that we're familiar with? You know, I'll give you an example. You know, when I was younger, I think it was Adventureland out in Chicago, there were the Super Italian Bobs. And it was a roller coaster. And I was terrified. Why? Because I never went on a roller coaster before. So there was a lot of fear. But I was with my friends, and you know, you don't want to be a little baby. So I went on the roller coaster. Well, for the next couple hours, we were going all around that roller coaster. We go around, get in line again, go up, go around, get in line again. Why? Because now my comfort zone was stretched. What I was afraid of, because I took a step of faith, now I'm comfortable in. Well, now I'm 60 years old and I'm not comfortable with roller coasters anymore. I don't know. That's just something that happened. I don't know why. But here's the thing. God wants us to step out. But how many really want to step out into the unknown, where you're unsure of what's going to happen, how things are going to work out? It's difficult. But that's what God has called us to do. It's really not a blind faith, but a faith that's trusting in the promises of God. And really, that's where we grow. That's where we see the victories in our life. Great things happen in our lives when we're willing to leave our comfort zones and claim new territory for the Lord. And as we saw last time, the Lord wanted the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan River. And as soon as the priest's feet touched the waters of the Jordan River, the waters would stop and they would be able to cross over. But they had to take those steps of faith. And as we said last time in Joshua 3:4, this is interesting. It says that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Something was changing in how God was leading them. Remember, before, the children of Israel were led by the Shekinah glory, the presence of God. It was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And whenever the pillar of fire moved or the cloud moved, the children of Israel would pack up camp and they would follow. But now the Lord's saying that you haven't passed this way before. This is going to be a new way. How is God going to lead them? Well, remember, the Ark of the Covenant is going to go into the Jordan River. And another name for the Ark of the Covenant is the Ark of Testimony. God was going to lead them by His Word. And no matter where they were going or what they were doing, His Word needed to be the focus point of their life, guiding them. It was the thing that was to direct them in where to go and what to do. God was leading them a different way. And this is the way the Lord leads us, by His Word opened up to us by His Spirit. You know, you think, well, why is this so important? Because if we could do it on our own, if we could figure out what to do apart from God, we'd get the glory. I mean, you know, football season, guess what? You'll see a lot of guys taking the glory today. They make a tackle, and, you know, they're all excited that they made a tackle. But, you know, to me, that's your job, isn't it? You know, I worked in intensive care when people coded and we had to resuscitate them and they survived. You know, I didn't throw the paddles on the ground going, whoa, yeah, that was great, awesome, and do my little dance. No, that was my job. That's what I did. But we tend to take the glory. And I'll tell you what, all I did and all I am doing now, I give glory to God because I'm amazed that I can do the things that I do. It's incredible. So God is leading them a different way here. And I love the way that He tells us to do things that are beyond our scope of ability, because then He gets the glory, not us. And that's what I've called this message. I've called it God Gets the Glory, because I think it's important for us to understand that. And I've broken these verses down like this. In Joshua chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, God raises up Joshua. In verse 9 of Joshua 3, Joshua leads the people. Then in Joshua 3:10, God is glorified. And in Joshua 3:11, the Word of God guides us. And like I said, I love how this is all played out. You know, God raises up Joshua. Joshua leads the people according to what God has shown him. And through all that is done, the stepping out in faith and what takes place, Joshua doesn't get the glory, God does. And in the end, it's just following the Lord according to His Word so that God can use us for His glory. So let's begin reading Joshua chapter 3, starting in verse 7, and see what the Lord has for us this morning as we study through His Word and look at the subject of God gets the glory. We're told, "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I will begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.'" So God was showing the people that Joshua was His man. He was their leader now. God raises up Joshua is what I called this section. And, you know, what's interesting to me is we see God speak of this a couple of times in these first three chapters. Why? Because He wants to encourage Joshua in the work that He's called him to do. And we need that encouragement in our life, and many times we need it often. You know, remember what we're told back in chapter 1 of Joshua, starting in verse 1, that after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." See, Joshua knew what the Lord did in the life of Moses. And because Joshua was right there beside Moses, he saw these things. He watched how powerfully God worked through this man of faith, and he was learning. And the encouragement here is that, look, just as God worked through Moses, God says, "I'm going to work through you, Joshua, the same way. I'm going to be with you." He's seeing the hand of God upon his own life. And here's the thing, and I think we know this, it's always easier to watch than to actually get involved, isn't it? Again, football season, and I'm using that again as an illustration. You're watching a football game, and isn't it easy to tell them what to do? How could you? What a bonehead play. What's wrong with you, right? And when we tell them all these things, I love going out after church to lunch with Brian, because Brian, he reports the game to me. He tells me what they're going to do. He tells me when they make mistakes. But it's so easy, and I'm not picking on Brian, I'm saying we all do that. We look at things and see what's going on and go, how could you do that? How could you drop that ball? Have we ever tried to be involved in something like that? It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder. I remember, I think it was Joe, Samson, Travis, they wanted to have a golf outing. And I never went golfing, but you know, I'm an athletic type of guy, at least I think I am. And so we went out golfing. We had a big golf outing, you know. We even had shirts made up. You know, I drive like Jehu furiously. And driving furiously, that was for me, believe me. I got up there to hit the ball. And I looked at it, man, and I took a swing like a baseball swing. Because I played a lot of baseball. And I swung, and I'm looking, still on the ground. I was more of making a wind that day than hitting a ball. It was horrible. I was very good at putting because I did a lot of putt-putt golf, you know. You get the windmills and stuff. I can do that. But driving the ball, are you kidding me? And I always watch these guys on TV. You know, I see Tiger Woods and those guys are hitting the ball. I go, oh, come on, how hard can that be? Until I got in the game and I tried to play and it's a lot different. And that's how it really is with the Lord. You know, God calls us to do something, and it's hard to get in. But look at what the Lord's doing here. Moses is dead. Joshua, get in the game. You're up. And for us, you know, the Lord, in a sense, is our coach. He gives us that encouragement like he did with Joshua. God raises people up for work today. And he raises people up like you and me. And I love that he uses common people. He uses nobodies for an incredible work. In fact, we see in Joshua chapter 1, verses 16 and 18, that the people recognize what God was doing in the life of Joshua, that he was now the leader. It says, they answered, the people answered Joshua saying, all that you command us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. You see, they recognized the hand of God upon Joshua. And they said, man, we're willing to follow you. Wherever you go, wherever you tell us to go, we will go. As long as you're following the Lord. And that's really the key. I'm not going to follow someone who's not following the Lord. That's a dangerous thing to do. And as leaders, we represent him. And if we're not representing him correctly, man, don't lead people. You'll be in trouble. Now, how do you know if someone's following the Lord or not? Well, it's simple. If they're moving away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, then they're not following the Lord. That's pretty simple. The Scriptures give us many, many warnings of false teachers and false teaching. In Jeremiah 23, verses 16 and 17, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. These were so-called the prophets of God, and they really weren't. They made themselves out to be prophets of God. The Lord says these men were not speaking for him. And I guess that means they weren't prophets of God. You see, why does the Lord say that? Because they were speaking from their own heart, what they felt, the wisdom of the world instead of from the mouth of the Lord or according to the word of God. Judgment was coming upon the southern kingdom of Judah by the Babylonians. And the prophets were saying, oh no, everything's going to be hunky-dory. I'm paraphrasing again. Everything's fine. Thus says the Lord. See that phrase? I'm qualifying what I'm saying because I'm saying thus says the Lord. So you got to believe me now. No, I don't. Because if you say, thus says the Lord, such and such and such and such, and yet it goes contrary to what God's word says, you're not speaking for the Lord. You see how simple it is? And here's the difficult thing. So many people follow these people. But understand, false teachers and false teaching are making you worthless. Wow. I didn't say that. That's what the Lord said. If you're listening to them, if you're following them, they're not building you up in the Lord. They're making you worthless. That's a heavy statement, but it's true. In 2 Peter 3, verses 14 through 18, Peter put it like this. He said, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which there are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." So we see men taking the scriptures and twisting them to fit what they want to believe. And then they are taking these false teachings and destroying others with them. And Peter says, you guys should know this. You shouldn't be taken unaware. You've been warned already. Don't fall prey to it. Instead of listening to what these guys are saying, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Simple. There's no growth in following false teachers. It'll hurt you. It won't help you. And lastly, if you remember in Acts chapter 20, when Paul gave his address to the Ephesian elders at Miletus, he said in verses 28 through 31, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." It's amazing the excuses that I hear in regard to false teachers and false teaching. People want to ignore these things or try to say that's not what they mean. Of course it is. And Paul's warning is that from outside, savage wolves will come into the church to try and devour the sheep with their false teaching. If you've been with us very long, you know that I am very careful who I allow to come up here and teach at Calvary. I don't just let anyone. God has placed me as the under-shepherd of this church, and the sheep that he has purchased with his own blood, I'm responsible for. I'm thankful that I have a man like Steve who, when I'm on vacation, he can come and teach, because I trust him. And the guest speakers that I have, believe me, I check them out to make sure. And the thing is this. Not only savage wolves from outside the church, but also from within. And the way you recognize them is that these men will rise up, they'll speak perverse things or things that go against the teaching of God's word, and they'll sound very spiritual, but you got to watch out. They're drawing the sheep to themselves and not to God. You know, I love what Pastor Chuck used to say regarding false teachers and their false teaching. He said, if it's true, it's not new. And if it's new, then it's not true. That's right on. Right on. Simple. People love to put their own spin on the scriptures, and in the end, they're not speaking for God, but for themselves, and they're hurting people and dividing people. And that's dangerous. You know, Joshua, he was a man who loved the Lord, followed the Lord, and the Lord raised him up to lead his people. And in Joshua 4:4, we see how this is all played out. It says, "On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him, as they had feared Moses all the days of his life." You know, like I said, I love that the Lord uses nobodies to accomplish his will. He's not looking for the tall, dark, and handsome guy. He's not looking for a mover and shaker. He's not looking for this. But he's just looking for someone who is faithful to him, someone who has surrendered his life to him. It's not that he can't use, you know, tall, dark, and handsome people or educated people or whatever. He uses anyone who will surrender his life, their life to him. And he wants you just to be faithful in service. You know, God raised Joshua up, he raised Moses up, he raised Solomon up, he raised Paul up, and we can go on and on. And God wants to raise every one of us up to be used for his glory. Paul in Ephesians 2:10 said that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts it, this verse. It goes, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand, for us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." You know, God has prepared the work for us, and he's prepared us for the work. Our responsibility is to walk, is to take those steps of faith. And that's the hardest part, isn't it?
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.